I'm going to let Henry Nouwen, who's a Christian, Catholic Christian writer, prolific writer, set the scene for today from a book called The Way of the Heart. And he's talking about this practice of silence. He says, over the last few decades, we have been inundated by a torrent of words. Wherever we go, we are surrounded by words. Words softly whispered, loudly proclaimed, or angrily screamed. Words spoken, recited, or sung. Words on records, in books, on walls, or in the sky. Words in many sounds, many colors, or many forms. Words to be heard, read, seen, or glanced at. Words which flicker off and on, move slowly, dance, jump, or wiggle. Words, words, words. They form the floor, the walls, and the ceiling of our existence. It has not always been this way. There was a time not too long ago without radios and televisions, stop signs, yield signs, merge signs, bumper stickers, and the ever-present announcements indicating price increases or special sales. There was a time without advertisements, which now cover whole cities with words. Recently, I was driving through Los Angeles, and suddenly I had the strange sensation of driving through a huge dictionary. Wherever I looked, there were words trying to take my eyes from the road. They said, use me, take me, buy me, drink me, smell me, touch me, kiss me, sleep with me. In such a world, who can maintain respect for words? All this is to suggest that words, my own included, have lost their creative power. Their limitless multiplication has made us lose confidence in words and caused us to think, more often than not, they're just words. Nouwen doesn't even take into account the wordless noise that surrounds us, of cars, trucks, furnaces, air conditioning, machines, lawnmowers, beeps and rings of phones, and the filler music in offices and elevators. We are inundated with words and with noise, and so today, this bowl that during Lent is going to symbolize our lives is filled with words, scrolls with words all over them. Because our lives are filled with words, and our lives are filled with noises. And so, that is the reason for talking today about the soul training exercise of silence. We're talking about, during Lent, these exercises that train our souls, train our minds and our hearts and our spirits to get in shape for the life of, to live the life of Christ. And today, we practice the soul training exercise of silence. For two reasons, really. Silence makes room for wisdom in our lives, and silence also reveals wisdom. In other words, when we are in silence, that's our chance to grow in wisdom. And wise people have the wisdom to restrain ourselves from adding to the noise and words of our world sometimes. So today we're going to talk about emptying our lives of noise and words. Not just the noises that come into our minds, but also the noise that comes out from us into the world. And then we're going to talk about being filled, because we don't just get emptied to be emptied. We get emptied so that God can fill us. And then we're going to talk about practicing silence. So first of all, emptying. The practice of silence empties our words, our lives of words and noise. And the Bible spends all kinds of words warning us against the power of words, or the devastating power that words can have. As I was looking for scripture today that we could read that would talk about our use of words, I was overwhelmed, because it's all over the Bible telling us, warning us about how we use our words. The Bible warns us about destructive words, and there are going to be scriptures that pop up here to illustrate that. We can use words destructively. We tell our kids, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me, right? That's a lie. It is. We see evidence that that's a lie all over the place. Words have the power to hurt and do destructive things in our world and in people's lives. We are warned in the Bible about hasty words, and that's what we looked at in Ecclesiastes 5, speaking before we understand. Speaking before we listen. And I think that applies in our relationships with other people. It also applies in our relationship with God. Who's doing all the speaking? And do we speak before we understand? The Bible warns us against empty words. Jesus says we will be held to account for every empty word we speak. And I think empty words can include a lot of things, but I want to talk just briefly about two specifically. One, I think complaining is an example of empty words, okay? Or venting a lot of times. We like to vent. The problem with complaining and venting is that a lot of times it doesn't really do anything. It doesn't help. All it really does is build us up or tear other people down. It's really, our national pastime, I think, is not really baseball. It's more complaining. And I realize I'm complaining and saying that, but skip that part and we'll move on. But a lot of times complaining is just empty words. It's not like scratching a normal itch. You scratch it and it goes away. Complaining is scratching a rash that just makes it worse and builds. And then we use empty words that fill our conversation with trivia. Things that really don't matter. We spend hours talking about the weather, celebrities who have really no impact on our lives. I'm not saying that every conversation has to be deep and profound and spiritual, but I don't think a lot of us are in really any danger of that, of having too much depth and profoundness in our lives. So we need to watch our empty words, the Bible tells us. And then finally, the Bible warns us against manipulative words. Manipulative words. Lying, boasting, slandering, filibustering, words that we use to manipulate, to try and get other people to do what we want or to think about us in a certain way, words that we use to impress other people. We need to be wary of those. These are the words that come out when we're thoughtless about our words, when we're not allowing the gospel and God to shape the words we speak. And then there's all the noise in our lives. And I think a lot of us, we're just so used to it that a lot of times we don't even notice the noises that are coming into our minds. But that doesn't mean our minds don't have to process and work through all the noises that come in. Some of the noises are imposed upon us. Lauren and I had the great fortune to live right next to the expressway for our 5 years in Chicago. Various expressways, everywhere we moved, there were cars going by the house all the time. That takes its toll. It was imposed on us, though. That was just the reality. If you try and take silence and your neighbor decides to mow his lawn, okay, there's nothing you can really do about that. There are some noises that are just imposed upon us, and we can seek to avoid them, but we are going to have to deal with noise. There are lots of noises, though, that we just inflict upon ourselves. Some of us listen to music all the time, have it on in the background at our offices and our homes. And there's nothing wrong with listening to music if we're listening to music. But a lot of times it's just filling silence because we're uncomfortable with it. Why do we have to listen to music all the time? We can turn off the TV and the radio. They don't have to be going on. We can quiet our cell phones for times, or at least lower the volume. We can take times to be silent. And the reason, as Henry Nouwen said in the passage I read earlier, is because when there's sounds and words everywhere, they get devalued. It's simple supply-side economics, if you will, right? What happens when the supply of a product goes up to its value? It goes down. And the same is true with our words. When words and noises are everywhere, they just become white noise. And there's not really any value to them. Our brain, our senses, they can't process all of it. It's like a water mill that is constantly inundated with water and continues to turn and turn and turn. And eventually, our brains just give up. We can't process through everything, so we don't pay attention to anything. Henry Nouwen suggests that the natural state of a human being is silence. To be in silence is our natural state. And so noise and words have kind of become an addiction to us. In an addiction, whatever we're addicted to, we need it to feel normal. And that's true, I think, for a lot of us with sound and words. We need them just to feel normal. Meaningful words, meaningful sounds, spring up only out of silence. They break the silence and then lead us back into silence. Otherwise, words and noises just blend in to everything. There is no meaning or significance to them. And so, we need, at least for times in our lives, to be emptied of words and noise, to experience silence, so that God can fill us and allow us to engage the world with meaningful and significant sounds and words. When we practice silence, we give ourselves the opportunity to be filled with God's voice. In 1 Kings 19, we get a glimpse of what that voice is often like. This is the story of Elijah, and he's gone off to the wilderness because he's being persecuted, and the queen is trying to kill him, and he goes into this deserted place in solitude, which we talked about last week, and the Lord speaks to him and says, "Go out and stand on the mountain because the Lord, Yahweh, is going to pass by." And so Elijah goes out, and it says, there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, and I'm going to diverge from the translation here, after the fire, a still, small voice. A gentle whisper. That was where the Lord was. And that is often where the Lord is and how the Lord speaks. In a whisper. If we want to listen to God, it requires that we engage silence. That we stop talking long enough for God to speak to us. Think about your life. If God wanted to speak to you, would he have to interrupt? Would he have to interrupt you? God doesn't really like to interrupt a lot of times. In Revelation 3:20, we have this wonderful image of Jesus at the door of a church, and it says, "Behold, listen, pay attention, I'm standing at the door and knocking so that I can come in and eat with you." Jesus is not bursting through the door, he's knocking on the door. Waiting to be invited in. If Jesus were knocking on your door, could you hear it? During the winter, we've spent a lot of time talking about reading the scriptures, learning to listen, and having some skills and practices to engage God in the scriptures. But the context for all of that is silence. We need silence to really hear God speaking. Silence is a posture of humility that we must take. In silence, we recognize that we are the creature, God is the creator. We are the disciple, Jesus is the teacher. We are the children, God is the father. We are the sinners, God is the savior. And so, it makes sense that we would allow God to speak. Silence is the recognition that God's words are probably more valuable than our own. Do you agree with that? Do you believe that? Who believes that God's words are more valuable than our own? Okay. I believe that too, and I would say I am among many of us probably who don't actually live like that though. Who don't actually live like God's words are more valuable than ours. Judging by how we fill up our lives with our own or other people's words. Back to Henry Nouwen. He says very simply and maybe obviously that the main function of the word, not the word of God, just words in general, the main function of words is to communicate. Makes sense. And in that word communicate, he sees that root commune. He says the function of a word is to foster communion, to create community. That's what God's words do. They draw us into relationship. And that's what our words can do too. They can create community. They can build relationship. They can foster communion. As much as the Bible warns us against the destructive potential of words, it also encourages us with using words and the purpose that God gave them to us for. Our words can bring healing to people. Our words can encourage people. Our words can be used to express praise and gratitude. Our words can offer wisdom and truth. Our words can call for justice and defend the oppressed. And our words can proclaim the good news and bring hope to people. But if our words are going to do any of these things, they must come from God. They must spring out of silence. Otherwise, our words and God's words just blend in with all the noise. So how are we going to practice silence? How do we practice this soul training exercise of silence? And the first thing I want to suggest to you all is to be patient in practicing silence. Many of us will need a great deal of time and training before we are able to really experience any kind of internal silence. Because shutting out the external noise and words is one thing. But silencing our spirits and our minds, that's another thing. Okay, so it's going to take time to really experience the kind of external and internal silence that we need to really listen to God. It's kind of like, I compared it to an addiction before, and I don't use that term lightly. We are addicted. And we're going to probably go through, for some of us, a kind of a detox period, where we go through the uncomfortableness of being without words and noise for a time. And it's going to be hard for us to experience silence. And so I want to encourage you to try and approach silence in a multifaceted way. All right, to try and look at various parts of your life and quiet them down. Because I'm going to encourage you to take 30 minutes of silence a day. But if you just take 30 minutes of silence and the other 23 and a half hours of your day are filled with noise and words, that 30 minutes is going to be, you're probably going to have a real hard time experiencing silence. So look at some other areas of your life where you can practice silence. Turn off the car radio when you're in the car. You know those five-minute trips you take and you turn on the radio? The whole time it's commercials and worthless banter, isn't it? Just turn it off. Just allow yourself to experience 5 minutes of silence. Don't always have music playing around you. Let there be silence in the background. Let yourself do work out of silence instead of out of noise. Be aware of your self-talk. Okay, that's the talk, that the ways we talk to ourselves in our minds, and this isn't just me, okay? I'm not the only one who like talks to myself in my brain. You're always telling yourself things. Worries or concerns or needs or thoughts about other people, you're always talking to yourself. Be aware of your self-talk. And sometimes just try and quiet yourself. Or at least say, let's move on to the next topic. I'm done milling over this one in my mind for now. So be aware of those different areas where words and sounds play a role in your life. And then I'm going to encourage you during Lent to find 30 minutes a day for silence. As much as you can, as much as you're able, to avoid noise and words. And I'm going to encourage you to find a more extended time. Just like last week, I talked about solitude, 30 minutes a day, and then a more extended time. Find one time a week where you can be with an hour or 2 hours of silence. All right? As much as you can. Okay, you can't control if your time of silence, all of a sudden there's a construction project that starts next door. You can't control that. But as much as you can, try and practice silence 30 minutes a day, an hour or more extended time during the week. And during that time of silence, during that emptying time, we want to be filled with God's voice. And so Scripture is an appropriate way to use that time of silence. But read slowly. Read quietly. Read it multiple times. This is kind of a version of an ancient practice called Lectio Divina, which means divine word. Or, I'm sorry, divine reading. Don't read the Bible just to read it and get all the information. Read the Bible so that, actually seek for God to speak the words of the Bible to you, if that makes sense. Focus less on your reading and what you're taking in, and more on asking God to speak the words to you. During your silence, engage God in prayer. But don't pray how we normally do. We usually think of prayer as a lot of talking and a lot of asking and a lot of us. Practice prayers, what we call breath prayers. A breath prayer is a prayer that you can just say in one breath. God, show me your ways. And then allow time for silence. Allow God to actually show you his ways, in other words. God, I ask that you would be present here. And then experience the presence of God if he should bless you with it. So practice prayer, but don't fill it up with your own words. And then the last thing I want to encourage you to do, one day during Lent, just one day is all I'm asking, is to take a vow of silence. And this has been a practice that's been done many, many years, okay, by many people. On that day, try to avoid speaking completely, if you can. All right, just try it. Don't speak. And you'll tell your family, okay? Tell your family that you're doing this, all right? There are people who might call and tell them that you're trying to do this so they don't think you're just ignoring them or they don't keep bugging you with questions until you answer them. Tell them what you're doing. And for some of you, it might not be possible, okay, to take a whole day of silence. That might not be a possible thing. But on that day, speak only when spoken to. And when you do speak, speak as minimally as possible. A simple yes or no, or a simple direction, if you have to absolutely speak. During that day of silence, be thoughtful about it. Pay attention to your urges to speak. When is it you really have a hard time keeping silent? And why is that? Spend the energy that you would normally spend talking, put that extra energy into listening to others, and really focus on what other people are saying. And then just notice for me, if the world falls apart without your words. And we'll come back. I mean, if the world falls apart, we won't come back and talk about it. But, you know, just notice if it does or doesn't fall apart without your words. And what were the effects of your time of silence? Just observe that. As I said, wise people practice silence, and so I'm going to stop talking. Other than simply to say that wise people do practice silence. And wise people get wiser in that silence and because of that silence. We're going to take 5 minutes of silence here right now. Don't look at your watches or clocks. I'm timing it. Don't worry. We're going to just take 5 minutes of silence. And I encourage you to engage God in that. Don't let yourselves get distracted. There's probably going to be an ambulance that goes by or a fire truck that goes by right as we start. Fine. Don't be distracted by it. Don't let your mind be distracted. You can use the discussion or reflection questions in your bulletin if you'd like to use that silence, or you can just seek God's presence. 5 minutes of silence right now. Holy God, quiet our minds and our lives so that we might hear your voice. And in hearing your voice, that we might find words that bring healing and grace, truth, justice, and peace to others. In the name of Jesus, the Word made flesh, we pray. Amen.